Well, it's me, Granny Kumar. Yes, the hot octogenarian with the attractive overbite. And I'm hosting my very own chat show. We have some amazing women popping in to share their stories with our Silverback Senior Ladies Group. Tandy Newton, Anushka Shankar, Anita Rani, Maggie Adarin-Pocock, and so many more. All being grilled by the interviewers no one can resist. A bunch of nosy old Indian women.
Meera Sayal's Gossip and Goddesses with Granny Kumar.
Tomorrow evening at 6:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, the first of two programmes looking back at the stand-up and songs of Victoria Wood.
VTR 23709, English programme, writing lyrics, take one.
Victoria Wood Entertainment.
There's not too many jobs available, unqualified as I am. I've got a brownies badge for skipping and a guides for making jam. CSE heavy petting, O-level hanging around. And I would have got a bronze life-saving medal if the person I was saving hadn't drowned. I've been working in an office and I can't face that again. And I've always fancied being a comedian. I could be a bus conductress, ring that little bell, have a little number on a dandruffy lapel. Imagine all the jokers, it might be a mistake. All that, how much is it to Oldham? That's a place in the north. Might get too much to take. Now I have decided, you just tell me when I can start to be a...
That was taken from Victoria Wood's own personal cassette recording of a 1981 schools programme called The English Language, and a song that explains pretty much why she became not just a comedienne, but a singer, sketch and sitcom writer, and quite probably the all-time winner of Britain's Best Person Ever. Hello, my name's Rebecca Front, and over the next two half hours, we'll be listening to lots and lots of Victoria Wood's work, some of it never heard before, including extracts from her own personal diaries, notes and rehearsal tapes. It'll be hopelessly short of meaningful analysis, entirely inadequate as biography, and we'll have loads and loads of stuff that will make you laugh like a cat. Oh, and if anyone wants to know why I got into songwriting and then comedy and then acting, it really can be summed up in two words: Victoria Wood. She was ridiculously inspirational, cutting across class and gender, effortlessly launching rhyming couplets with one hand while creating hilarious characters with the other, all the time delivering uproarious, earthy, witty, fresh stand-up with the third. I've run out of hands for that metaphor, but you know what I'm getting at. One thing it won't be is a documentary. Here's Victoria on documentaries.
Now, before I get properly stuck in, I must just tell you, I'm under a bit of a strain tonight. I've got a film crew with me. They're making a fly-on-the-wall documentary. Bit of a panic on. The fly's just died. It fell off the wall. They said, well, just film you as you are, you know, warts and all. Well, I don't have any warts. I had to go out and buy some and stick them on. I've got forgotten to put them on. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. Terrible strain having a film crew, though, with you wherever you go. You really have to watch what you say. I haven't said bollocks since Tuesday. It'll be in the paper on Monday. Woman says bollocks near Cheadle.
Recorded in 1996 in Manchester, and that clip also gives an example of Victoria Wood's unerring ability to choose the right words to make the comedy bounce. Cheadle being the absolute perfect near Manchester town. It just falls in the right way. As Victoria said herself in this 1993 interview on Radio 4's then arts programme Kaleidoscope.
I think it has to have the right rhythm. It's very musical, the whole thing. It's all to do with rhythm and punctuation and building up a rhythm and building up an expected pattern and then breaking it and catching people on the offbeat.
But that's not all. Here's the rhythm.
Woman says bollocks near Cheadle.
But here's the twist. How did she know that near Cheadle is so much funnier than in Cheadle? Is it because she's subliminally mirroring a traffic report, as if a woman swearing has somehow become a major incident? Woman says bollocks near Cheadle, 14-mile tailback near Barnsley. comedy as rhythm and music. Anyway, right, let's begin. Now, if we were to look at Victoria Wood's stand-up right through her career from soup to nuts, you'd probably start with her writing about being an awkward teenager.
I mean, when I think back to when I was about 13 and I had to take my first boyfriend home to meet my mother, which is always your mother's idea, you don't want to take him home, do you? You want to be in a bush shelter with him wondering if he can get pregnant through two pairs of Wranglers. But she wants to meet him, so you bring him home. And up until the minute you bring him into your kitchen, he's like the most gorgeous, sexy, dangerous boy. You bring him into your kitchen, he just looks stupid. And your mother looks as embarrassing as ever, wearing a PVC apron with "We've been to the Central Library" written on the front of it. And you just stood there in the middle of them thinking, oh, God, please let it not be beetroot. Do you like beetroot, Clint? And she's looking at him all the time he's eating. Did I not give you a fork, Clint? Because it's quite difficult to manage with your fingers, isn't it, coleslaw? And at the end of the meal, she says, now, what would you young people like to do now? You'd like to be in a shop doorway somewhere licking the back of each other's tonsils, thanks very much. I put some glue and some macaroni in the dining room. I thought you might like to make a collage. What?
Of course, with Victoria Wood, nothing is wasted and everything is meant. That boyfriend's name was to crop up again as another inappropriate lover in her 1998 sitcom Dinner Ladies, only this time as the boyfriend of her own character Bren's awful mother, played by Julie Walters as she sweeps into the canteen.
Bren, can I just pop into the toilet a minute with Clint? Nothing sordid, we're just... Come on, lover!
The Seven Ages of Woman, captured in five letters, beginning with C and ending in T. At the start of the show, we heard a clip of an ITV schools programme from 1981 called The English Programme.
VTR 23709, English Programme, writing lyrics, take one.
Clearly an exciting show to work on. The idea behind the series was that it explored how writers, well, write. And one programme featured Victoria explaining how she went about the process of writing songs.
Well, I usually start... I write the lyrics and the music separately, so whether I've done the tune first or not, I'll do the words at night, because I always work at night. And I usually start about 11, and hopefully I'll have actually started by about midnight, because I have to do the crossword, and I have to have a cup of coffee, and I have to wipe my desk and tidy my letters and write to people. So there's always about an hour where I don't do very much. Then I'll start about midnight. Then I write the alphabet down the side of the page, because if I'm trying to find a rhyme, it's much easier to go through all the words that rhyme with the particular word I'm looking for and then see if any of them could possibly make any sense and be any use to the song.
So we have an image of Victoria sitting there at one in the morning, painstakingly working her way through the alphabet to come up with seemingly elusive rhymes. But there's no trace of difficulty when you listen to this song celebrating a typical teenage night out.
What can the matter be? 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday. Tracy, Clegg and Nicola Battersby come into town double quick. They rendezvous in front of a pillar. Tracy's tall like Jonathan Miller. Nicola's more like Guy the Gorilla if Guy the Gorilla were thick. Their hair's been done, it's very expensive. Their use of mousse and jelly's extensive as weapons. Their heads would be classed as offensive and put under some kind of ban. They're covered in perfumes, but these are misnomers. Nicola's scent could set dogs into comas. Tracy's kills insects and does spin aromas and also gets stains off the pan. But it's their night out. It's what it's all about. It's looking for lads, looking for fun. A burger and chips with a sesame bun. They're in the mood for a fabulous interlude of living it up, painting the town, drinking Bacardi and keeping it down. And it's all right, it's what they do of a Saturday night. Oh dear, what can the matter be? What can that terrible crunching and clatter be? It's the cowboy boots of Nicola Battersby leading the way into town. They hit the pub and Tracy's demeanour reminds you of a loopy hyena. They have 16 gins and a rum and Ribena, and this is before they've sat down. They dare a bloke from Surrey called Murray to phone the police and order a curry. He gets locked up, it's a bit of a worry, but they won't have to see him again. They're dressed to kill and looking fantastic. Tracy's gone for rubber and plastic. Nicola's dress is a piece of elastic, it's under a heck of a strain.
what it's all about. It's ordering drinks, ordering cabs, making new gestures with doner kebabs. They're in the mood for the fabulous interlude of weeing in parks, treading on plants, getting the dresses caught up in the pants. And it's all right. It's what they do of a Saturday night. What could the matter be? What can that terrible slurping and splatter be? It's Tracy Clegg and Nicola Battersby snogging with Derek and Kurt. They're well stuck into heavyish petting. It's far too dark to see what you're getting. Tracy's bra flies off, how upsetting, and several people are hurt. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Oh dear, what can the matter be? What can that moth-eaten pile of old tatters be? It's Tracy Clegg and Nicola Battersby getting chucked up the last 92. With miles to go and no chance of hitching, and Nicola's boots are busted the stitching, Tracy laughs and says, what's the point bitching? I couldn't give a bugger, could you?
There we are, Victoria Wood's patent alphabet rhyming algorithm, matching Saturday with Battersby, Matterby, Clatterby, Tattersby, and of course, Splatterby. And so we leave teenagehood, a world of awkward sex, bus stops, drinking the wrong thing, drinking the right thing but in the wrong amounts, and having a dodgy boyfriend, probably called Clint. A Victoria Wood routine always seemed to have its feet firmly planted in real life. We can find out why. Here is Victoria recording some notes on a removals man who came to the house.
This is our removal man who came today and made me laugh a lot. I said to him, do you want a cup of coffee? Yeah. Do you both want one? Does the driver want one? Oh, I don't know, it's from Oxford.
Of course he was from Oxford. And you can already hear the tones and rhythms of Victoria Wood jokes in waiting in that liminal space between the removal man's moanings and material waiting to be born. And to prove it, here's the removal man telling an anecdote about Norman Wisdom on the Isle of Man ferry.
Norman Wisdom, he's great. Isle of Man ferry. He went back a queue, right, doing his laughing and falling over a bit. Everybody else started laughing and falling about. He went to front of queue and bought his ticket.
It's perfect Victoria Wood territory. Element one, a holiday in the Isle of Man. Not quite abroad, not quite a staycation, a word I suspect she would have loved to have picked apart, by the way, but the kind of holiday her audience would recognise, transmuted later into a little brushstroke in the life of Norman the Bread Man in Dinner Ladies.
All right, Norman.
I'm not. I can't cope with them stairs.
They're good for your stairs.
No, this is like a phobia. I get panicky.
What, on stairs?
I fell off a diving board in Guernsey, you know. I can't stand on coconut matting either.
You can get help for that, couldn't you?
Oh, I haven't got time. I'm building an extension.
You're right, Stan. You have a nice weekend.
Actor Andrew Livingston there playing Norman the Bread Man, talking to Victoria Wood's character, Bren. And element two, an entertainer common to all of her audience's childhoods in a pre-internet personal bubble age, transmuted, albeit into a different comedian, in a later Dinner Ladies joke.
Counselling. My mother was trapped under a Blackpool tram for 4.5 hours. She didn't get counselling. She got a cup of tea and 2 tickets to Charlie Drake.
Thelma Barlow as Dolly. Charlie Drake, Norman Wisdom, Guernsey, the Isle of Man, coconut matting, building your own extension. Say any of those in Victoria Wood's voice and you capture her entire tone in miniature. And here's some stand-up about what was obviously a true or near-true experience.
Well, coming down the motorway, I got stuck behind a caravan. I hate caravans. I hate it when you're all going down the fast lane at 70 miles an hour and they're stood up in the back cooking chips. I hate it. And lorry drivers are awful, aren't they? They're just flashing at you to move over. What happened today in Woolworths? I said, please, don't do that. When I stopped on the hard shoulder and a police car pulled up behind me, he said, why have you stopped, madam? I said, well, I was just listening to the Archers. He said, I didn't hear that, madam. I said, oh, didn't you? They're having terrible trouble with the pigs at Graham's Farm. And I made the mistake at stopping one of those restaurants at the side of the road, famed for their speedy service. It took the waitress about 20 minutes to get to the table. It was like watching Jacques Cousteau coming towards you under the water. Oh, God, I said, la beans on toast. I could see her in the kitchen through the swing door. She was staring at this slice of bread on looking for the instructions on it. She brought this beans on toast freezing cold with the skin on the top. I said, can I take this off and make a handbag? Do you mind? Oh, dear, but they're mad because it's horrible food and they leave a suggestions book by the till. People have put things like, why don't you close for lunch? I felt sorry for this waitress, they're being so slow. I tipped her a quid. By the time she picked it up, it was only worth 75 pence.
Of course, you'll have already spotted the second half of that routine was alchemically transformed some years later into one of the most iconic sketches of television comedy, simply summed up by the words...
Two soups!
Julie Walters again, one of Victoria's lifelong comic muses, delivering soup to a desperately trying not to corpse Celia Imrie and Duncan Preston. As Victoria's life changed, so did the subject matter for her comedy. From first boyfriends and teenage angst, to early courting, to being newlywed, to giving birth, to being a mother of young children, she turned her own experience into something that everyone could relate to. That's art, that is. Here is a quintessential routine about somewhere roughly in the middle of that list. It has everything you can imagine in a Victoria Wood stand-up, plus a few hefty swipes at the north where she grew up.
You know, a funny thing happened to me a bit ago. I got pregnant. Now, look, I don't know how that happened. Honestly, you lose concentration for 1 minute. And I thought, well, I better find out if I am, you know, for definite. And I thought, well, I can't bear to go to the doctor because he doesn't like women. He gets really embarrassed with women. You know, you go with a sore throat and it looks like you're through binoculars. And anyway, our doctor's surgery is not very private because it's in a sort of porter cabin and people going past on the pavement can hear your symptoms through the expeller. So I thought, well, I'll go buy pregnancy testing kits from the chemist, you see. We've got two chemists, right, a little tiny old one and a big new modern one. So I thought, I'll go to the little tiny old one first. And it was in this street full of very old shops, you know, the sort of shops you don't really get much anymore, you know, tea towel shops. You know, the sort of shops that have yellow cellophane over the windows. Well, I stood there and I thought, well, they won't have one, you know, probably their idea of a pregnancy testing kit is a woman in a crossover pinny going, well, it wouldn't surprise me. And it's a terrible chemist. It's run by these very, very tiny, suspicious old ladies. They only sell brill cream on a doctor's certificate. And they have a panic button under the counter in case anybody under 25 comes in to try and buy a condom. And they've got this terrible girl working there on Saturday mornings who knows nothing, and she won't ask. I mean, you don't mind people knowing nothing if they ask. Hello, I know nothing. Help. But she's awful. She happily serves people with completely the wrong things. And she's a bit dyslexic. And she's never really got latex and Durex. Sort of, you know, sorted out in her mind. I mean, she sold one poor boy a surgical stocking. Now, when he saw the size of it, he was so miserable. Well, he had a terrible sex life, but he never got varicose veins, I suppose. And then I thought, no, I'll go to our new chemist, who's very upmarket and modern, you know, it's all neon lights and prawn sandwiches, and there's hardly anything medical in it at all. You could cruise the aisles for 20 minutes while you spotted some Clearasil. Anyway, I ran in and I grabbed the first thing I could see that looked like a pregnancy testing kit. And I took it outside and it was actually a bicycle repair outfit. I thought, well, I'll keep it, you know, in case I am pregnant and I do have a baby and it gets a puncture. I don't know, anyway, I don't know what. So I go back in and I think, well, I must do this properly, but I'm feeling really embarrassed, you see. Sometimes you look as if I'm not really looking for one for myself. You know, I'm looking on behalf of a friend of mine who has sexual intercourse on a regular basis. And I go up and there's a whole counter of things that look like pregnancy testing kits. And I go a bit nearer and they're actually things called ovulation predictor kits. Now, I didn't know about these, but these are kits that tell you when it's a good time to try and have a baby. They tell you when there's an egg on the way. There's one coming down now. Get going. Now, because it's quite crucial, this egg business, apparently, because you only get one egg a month. You know, like the war. So I'm sitting down, and the first thing I get out of the pregnancy testing kit is a diagram. I'm not very good with diagrams. I remember when I first saw the one in the Lillette packet. I thought, no, I'll just put a ship in a bottle every month, it'll be quicker. Anyway, I unpack the kit, see, and what you get in a pregnancy testing kit, you get the diagram and the instructions, you get a sort of little test tube thing, and you get a little chemical impregnated paddle. And what you have to do is wee on this paddle, right? Now, this was a new one on me, weeing on paddles. During a paddle, I'd heard about, but not on one. And I have to say, I don't think women are equipped for weeing on paddles somehow. We don't have the fine tuning, do we, really? We have the engine capacity, but not the steering, I would say. No, I don't wish to pursue that. Anyway, so I'm desperate to have a go at it, you see, to find out if I'm pregnant or not. So I think, well, I'll go to the nearest lavatories, and that's in the multi-storey car park next to the chemist. So I'll go in, and the whole lavatory is completely deserted. There's a queue of people waiting to wee in the lift, but there's nobody in the lavatory. And And I go in, I'm not surprised it's deserted because it's absolutely covered in graffiti, this lavatory. I mean, I don't mind a bit of graffiti, but it's a bit depressing when people can't even spell pubic. It's got things written, but it says things like, I love Baz, signed Holly. It's actually said singed Holly, you know, but it's easy to lose concentration with a nail file. I love Baz, signed Holly. Oh, no, you don't, Holly, you cow. Baz belongs to me, Donna. And then we had Baz loves Donna in a heart. Well, I think it was meant to be a heart. It actually looked more like a sort of sports bra. It was meant to be a heart. I said, I love Baz, signed Donna. I love Baz, signed Holly. I love Baz, signed Peter. I think he'd come in from another, I don't know where he'd come from to write that. I said, Baz is great, signed Holly McManus. Holly McManus is a big fat slag and nobody will touch her with a barge pole, Donna. Well, she spelt that like opinion pole. But you couldn't really have Holly McManus is a big fat slag, nobody will touch her with an opinion pole. That wouldn't make sense. Anyway, people who do opinion polls are desperate, they'll have anybody. But it was all over the place. Baz is great, Baz snogs fabulous, Baz did it to me lords and lords. I thought the little sign scratched up somewhere, Baz is knackered, please leave him alone.
On stage, it's a 15-minute stand-up routine, but here's the same subject, but condensed down into one extraordinary one-liner from Dinner Ladies.
Are you not pregnant?
Not unless sperm can get through a sash window, why?
You also heard Andrew Dunn as Tony. And by the way, it's a measure of the public's trust in Victoria that that line went out on BBC One. And again, just now on Radio 4, come to that, as it were. Victoria Wood's comedy crossed class, regionality and, significantly, gender. All the more extraordinary when you consider how much of her subject material was the travails of women's experience.
It's a terrible thing, you know, premenstrual tension, because when women all work together, they all start to coincide. And they all get it all at the same time. Do you remember that office block in the city last year where the windows blew out?
So by now, people in Victoria's world are indeed getting pregnant. Take this routine involving childbirth mixed with, because of course we're talking Victoria Wood, cosmetic surgery done on the cheap.
I thought, I'd go and see my friend and tell her about my date, you see, get a bit of advice. And I went to see her, and she was awfully miserable, my friend, because she was depressed about the veins on her legs. Because she'd had shorts on the other day, and her husband had used her left thigh to direct someone to the motorway. She said she was thinking of having plastic surgery. I mean, she's had it before, because she had all the loose skin taken away from under her arms. Had it sort of tightened up. I mean, it works, you know, she's got nice tight arms. Just if she goes out in the sun, she has to prick them with a fork. This is the trouble. But the real reason she was feeling a bit low was that she had postnatal depression, you see. And she showed me the baby. And... And then I had it as well. But my friend didn't know what to do when she got pregnant. She didn't know what sort of birth to have, because she's quite frightened of pain, you see. In fact, she had an epidural before she had sex, just in, you know, to be on the safe side. Well, in the end, she opted for natural childbirth, and she went to this new natural childbirth clinic, where they give you a room that's supposed to be more like your own bedroom. You know, it's full of old underpants and coffee cups and all that. And they said to her, have an active birth. And she said, what's that? And they said, well, you walk about and we follow you with a washing up bowl. She said, honestly, they said, honestly, no, go where you like, go where you like. But she went to Tesco's, they were furious with her.
Oh, and by the way, did you notice this sound? That's the sound of a bloke. For some reason, I imagine a great big hairy one killing himself at a joke about natural childbirth. In fact, Victoria also had the measure of men down to a hapless cardigan-wearing tee.
But the year just whipping by. The next thing you know, it's bonfire night. Then it's Christmas. I can't stand Christmas, actually. I can't stand all that panicking men do on Christmas Eve in department stores, looking for the lingerie department, trying to buy French knickers for their wives without actually looking at them, touching them, or saying the word knickers. Yes, that's right. That's about the right size. I'll have that. It's a fire extinguisher. Never mind, just wrap it up. Men always chicken out, don't they, my really strong perfume for their wives because they think the wives will like it and they think the box looks a nice size to keep screws in. And the wives don't like it. They put it on because they think the men will like it. And men go around saying, does that blue bottle come back then?
And she poured all her instinctive understanding of this particular kind of hardware-centric man into the character of Stan in Dinner Ladies, as played by Duncan Preston.
Stan, did you have a nice weekend?
I did, Bren. I got my carpet tax organised, finally.
Did you?
I bet you'd imagine they were standardised, hadn't you, carpet tax?
Yeah.
They're not. I had to laugh in the end. They're variations in length.
Can you put boiler on for me, Stan?
Stan lived in a world where sex was sex and rule plugs were rule plugs.
You can't shock me. I was once employed in the biggest brothel in Aslingden.
Doing what?
The rewiring.
What was it like?
Well, it was very tricky, actually, because there were so many wall lights.
To be fair, buying underwear isn't easy at the best of times.
The only thing I could find to put on this morning that was clean was a body. This one. I've got it on another body. This is my fantasy body. This is made by fantasy. I've got another one made by Burley. But it was so embarrassing going into the shop and saying to the woman behind the counter, excuse me, have you got a large white Burley body? I'll tell you what. But they're such a faff to put on and off, aren't they, bodies? I mean, mine's got poppers and Velcro. Which I think is very dodgy near any kind of a pubic outcropping. But they are such a faff, aren't they, getting them on and off? I mean, I've got friends who wear knickers and tights, then a body, then a little dress or trousers or something, and they go out for a few drinks and they sit there and they go, oh, sod it, Angela, let's just wet ourselves.
In her live stage shows, Victoria Wood also did characters. We'll meet Kimberly's friend, complete with yellow beret, in the next programme. But here's somebody she created to skewer a particular kind of corporate pretentiousness. Corinna, the city bus tour guide.
Good morning. I'd just like to welcome everybody to our city bus city tour this morning. Taking you around this very ancient city of ours, filling you in on a little bit of know-how and je ne sais quoi along the way. My name's Corinna. I'm a fully qualified City Bus City Tour guide, having undergone the very intensive City Bus City Tour training programme. And a very gruelling 45 minutes it proved to be. I'm Corinna, as I say, I'm chock-a-block of know-how. And like all the City Bus City Tour guides, I shall be handing out various juicy nuggets en route. Drive on, Dennis. We're starting our tour here in City Square. As you can see, we have the Law Courts, the Town Hall and the Municipal Library directly ahead of us. These were all designed by one and the same person. I can't quite think of his name just at the moment, but as we pass his statue, you will see that he had curly hair and quite a long jacket. Moving along down the Broadway, we pass the ancient medieval banqueting hall. Meeting between Mary Queen of Scots and Queen Elizabeth I. Whether this meeting actually took place or not, we cannot ascertain. But we can be fairly sure they were not disturbed in their meeting by the bleeping of the Pelican Crossing as we are today.
In the next programme, we'll be following Victoria through early motherhood, the travails of toddlerdom, the struggle of school, and the perils of ageing. Just time for one more quick filthy joke.
The thing I like best in a magazine, I like the problem page, and I like that bit at the bottom where they don't print the letter. Just the answer, I like that. Dear Puzzled of Essex, no, this is not normal behaviour. Tell your husband those things for putting tea towels into, not anything.
Goodbye. Victoria Wood from Soup to Nuts was presented by me, Rebecca Front, and the producer was David Tyler. It was a positive production for BBC Radio 4.